you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the 9th episode of Interlude Army. Today we'll be talking about BTS's BangBangKon, BTS's video tweets being taken down, Suga's Seesaw demo, and more. We also interviewed Sleep Deez, the producer who worked on Jungkook's song My Time. Let's get it. Welcome to Interlude Army.
I'm Roseanne.
And I'm Jose. Reminder for our next giveaway. After we hit 5,000 followers, we're giving away all of BTS's albums, from their debut album Too Cool for School to their most recent Map of the Soul 7. And that's including their Japanese albums. We're taking entries now. Following Interlude Army on Himalaya equals one entry. Becoming a premium member for Interlude Army on Himalaya equals two entries. Email your premium membership screenshot to interludearmygiveaway@gmail.com.
Now we're going to announce the winners of both Map of the Soul Persona and Map of the Soul Shadows, written by Dr. Murray Stein. Drumroll, please. The winners are L Sophia 0104, BCHITH Avong, and Lizzie Kitty 2012. Woo! Congratulations, you guys. You have won copies of the Map of the Soul Shadow and Persona. We'll be emailing you guys soon. And for those who are listening, don't worry, we'll be doing more giveaways, so stay tuned. So, how have you been doing, Jose?
You better hit those notes, Rose. I'm good, thanks. It's funny because like last week, it's like the same. But actually, there was a little bit of a difference.
Oh, okay.
It was Easter, so we were able to go visit my parents and celebrate with them. Aww. I mean, we just stayed in, of course.
Yeah.
Made some food.
Oh.
And we were able to like just be with family in this. And I mean, our family is really small, so mm-hmm. there's like no violation of social distancing okay, yeah. rules or anything. Yeah, I just watched, what was that movie? Trolls World Tour. Like it literally just came out like last week or something like that. Yeah, so my sister rented it for my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And so we watched it with her and like she was like so happy and just glued to the TV. Like you could not bother her. She was just staring at the TV.
Aww.
And it's pretty cute and funny and like fun to watch, especially because they touch on like music, all types of music genres. I don't know if you've seen like the trailer or something. They actually have Red Velvet representing K-pop, and
what?
Then they have J Balvin representing reggaeton, and like Kelly Clarkson, she's country, and it's just like a lot of like different genres. It's pretty cool.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know Red Velvet was part of it. That's cool.
Yeah, I didn't know either until like we were watching it, and then like out of nowhere, like Red Velvet comes up, and I'm like, what? What's going on here? But I mean, I think it's pretty cool that they included K-pop in there as well, you know?
True. That's right.
But besides that, nothing. Just homework.
Fun.
And staying in. Yeah. What about you, Roseanne?
I'm still updating my house. Low-key, I was stressed out yesterday because one of my pothos plants, were turning, the leaves were turning yellow. And honestly, I think it's because I overwatered it. Mm. I'm like drowning my plants. I don't know. I was getting so stressed. I'm like new to owning plants. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if any of you guys here listening own plants or like are pro at it. Give me some tips. Your girl is just like stressed. Oh gosh. But other than that, I've been writing in my journal actually every single day. So I could like, because you know, times like this, days start to blend in. Mm-hmm. And so I thought writing down what I do every day helps me remember. Oh, so okay. They don't blend together. So, but yeah.
Like, have you ever woken up and been like, what day is it today? Like, I completely forgot.
Yeah, today, actually. I, like, tweeted out something like, hello, Monday. But before I tweeted that out, I was like, is it Monday? So I checked to make sure. So, yeah, my days are...
Ugh. Yeah, like, the weekends are blending in. Like, wait, Rosanne, another thing that you did, you posted a video.
Oh, my God. I forgot. See, Jose, this is why I have you.
See, I'm helping you out.
This is why I have Jose. He helped me remember. I totally forgot. I posted a video. It was just like an updated summary of the new notes from Map of the Soul 7. Mm-hmm. So I just like went over it and gave my theories on that. I mean, have you been keeping up with like the whole notes and the... It's, I know it's like a mess in the universe, but have you been reading on those? Or
like, yeah. I've been reading, but I don't think I dedicate that much time like you. Yeah. Like, I don't have notes of notes stating, like, what comes first, what comes second.
Notes of notes. I might just share it with you. I could just share you my document of that, yes. Speaking about videos, Jose, you know what video was taken down last week? Or was that over the weekend? See, I'm already getting, like, mixed up on when this happened.
Well, I don't know if you know, Roseanne. It was actually two videos taken down within the same week.
Oh, I only knew of one video. What?
Ooh, that's why you got me, girl. That's why I'm here.
What was the other one?
So, I mean, I guess the one that, like, caused the most uproar, I would say. And the only reason being is because the song, or what we're thinking that is the copyrighted content that was, like, claimed, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, was because of Happy Birthday, which is something that's public domain. And if Army, if you didn't know, what we're referring to is BTS posted a video of themselves singing Happy Birthday to Suga on his birthday on their Twitter account. And mm-hmm, last week, it was completely, like, taken down. Like, the video was removed due to copyright. A report of copyright by its owner or something like that. It said, you know?
I know. It's like, owner of what?
Exactly.
Owner of Happy Birthday? Hello?
And so everybody was like, what is going on? Because nobody owns the Happy Birthday song. Well, at least not anymore. At one point, it was like Warner Music or something like that. But I believe it was as of 2016, like, nobody owns it and it's public domain. And for people who don't know, public domain means that, like, it's free for anyone to use without anybody claiming, you know? Mm-hmm. It was crazy to see that. That's why I feel like a lot of more people took notice, because, yeah, like, yeah, we even created, like, a hashtag and, like, everybody was pretty much tweeting about it because, yeah, it's, like, really, like, a happy birthday video.
It was, there wasn't even no music. It was just them singing. And it was in Korean, too. Like, the fact that...
Right.
It was in Korean. There was no music and it got copyrighted. But what was the other video? Did that have music in it?
So the other one was Taehyung's video. But this one was a while back, so maybe that's why you didn't know about it. Well, he posted it a while back. The one that was taken down was him dancing and lip-syncing to, I believe the song is Blackjack by, oh, I may be saying this wrong, but it's Aminé or something like that. He's a rapper.
Yes.
And that one hasn't been put back on. Like, the Happy Birthday video, by the way, we didn't even say it, Roseanne, it's back. The Happy Birthday Suga video, it is back, but it's just crazy that they even took it down because, like you said, it's not like a song that's like copyrighted or anything like that, and like they're not violating anything or anything.
Shouldn't have been a problem to begin with. So that's
exactly.
Why. Oh, happy news coming your way.
Yes, yes.
Pan ban. Oh, I'm saying it in like a Korean. You know what? Bang bang con.
I think you're saying it right though, Roseanne.
Pang pang. It's kind of weird because you know they say pang tan son yun dan. So I'll just say pang pang con. Okay.
Yeah, that's how I've been saying it.
They have tried to cheer us up, Army. It's an amazing special event that will be streamed online.
Yeah.
For us, so it's kind of be like what was it? A concert. Type of feel for us. They're gonna have multiple events actually.
It's gonna be 8 back-to-back shows that they've done, like concerts, but they're gonna divide equally. Like on April 18th they're gonna have 4, and then on April 19th they're gonna have the other 4 concerts, and on both days it will start at 12 p.m. Korean Standard Time, which for me is 10 p.m. Korean Standard, I mean not Korean Standard Time, Central Time. 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. So I might be able to like catch some because, you know, I'm probably going to end up falling asleep because it's at night.
Yeah, it's going to be really late for us.
Yeah. For me, it's going to be 10 and for you, it's going to be 8, right, Rosen? Because you're Pacific.
Yeah, time. So I'll be able to watch a couple. Yeah. They're starting off with like the 2015 BTS Live. I believe, was this Begin? I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says, oh no, On Stage. Sorry, On Stage.
On Stage. Mm-hmm.
So I might catch a couple of hours of that and then knock out.
Yeah, that's the one that I think I'm also going to be able to catch, like, some parts.
It's going to be on both YouTube and Weverse. But the perk of watching it on Weverse is that you could sync your army bomb to it. I don't know how this is going to work. Did they put a tutorial or is it just going to show us on Weverse?
They already posted the instructions on Weverse for you to be able to like sync it.
Okay.
You
know what I mean? Oh, nice. Okay.
And yeah, and it's cool because you'll be able to follow, like, the light stick is going to follow the same, I guess, light rhythm,
light
you could call it, as it is being shown in the concert. So it's like you're there. Aww, I think it's like
pretty that is cool. Really cool.
Isn't that like something innovative, Roseanne? Like, who has done this? Right? I don't know anybody who has done this.
Like, I know people have streamed concerts and events, but like to have their light stick, I don't know, I can't think of, like, correct us if we're wrong, but they might be the first group to sync their light sticks to a live concert. But then again, have they done that for theaters? They have, right?
Well, they did that. Yeah, it was last year. Why am I asking myself if it was this year? Because they didn't have any this year. Last year, they did that where you could go at a specific time because it was at the same time, which was the speakers of the final show.
Yes.
So they did that for theaters, but this is actually going to be from the comfort of your own home, you know?
This will be a portable concert. You could bring this to your bathroom, to your kitchen. Please wash our hands.
Yeah, anywhere, as long as you're washing your hands. Yeah, that's true.
As long as you have internet.
But in case you didn't know, or me listening, the order in which they're going to be showing this is like the first day it's going to be, like Roseanne said, BTS's HYYH live concert from 2015. Then we go to 2016's HYYH epilogue concert. And then 2014's Red Bullet live trilogy tour, and then the third muster from 2016. And then on April 19th we start with 2017's Wings tour in Seoul, then the Wings tour the final show, and then 2018's fourth muster, and finally the Love Yourself Seoul concert from 2018. So which ones were you able to go to, Roseanne, out of all those?
I've only gone to the Wings. Like, the first concert was the Wings. I didn't get to attend, like, the Red Bullet tour. I do know people who have, though. I'm so jealous. Some of my friends have attended it. And then they got to meet them, because that was when they were doing meet and greet still.
Oh, like, my God. Could, how lucky.
You know, and then the group picture. So I missed out on that.
Me too.
Man, so this is going to be really fun. I don't know where I saw it. There was a mention about BTS kind of being in the live stream. Or are they going to like talk on the live stream? Or that's not happening at all? That's just...
Well, I actually don't know that. But I do think... I mean, that's just hopeful wishing for me. But I think I can speak for many armies out there that we wish that maybe in between, because there's going to be intermissions. They did say that. There is going to be intermissions between. So I think that maybe those intermissions may be like the guys popping in here and there. Like, I don't know, you know, watching with us or sending us like uplifting messages or something.
Oh,
you know?
That'd be really nice. Yeah, I don't know where I saw something like that, but I guess we'll see. It is this weekend. Look at that. See? My days are like blending in.
Yeah, April 18th and April 19th starting at 12 p.m. Korean Standard Time. So wherever you are, Army, just Google what 12 p.m. Korean Standard Time is for you.
Yeah, that's what I do. I was like, 12 p.m. KST convert to PST. And then
I did the same, but I changed it to CST. And the reason why I do believe that they may be like popping in here and there is because BTS themselves have started teasing it or like preparing for the show themselves, because on Instagram, I don't know if you saw, they posted on Instagram, it was Jungkook and RM. They posted a selfie with Army Bombs, holding Army Bombs and counting down the days for BangBangCon. What was exciting as well is that Jungkook is holding the Army Bomb version 3 lightstick, but RM is holding the Map of the Soul special edition Army.
Yes.
Ain't that exciting, Rosanne?
That Army Bomb looks so slick. Yeah, I am super excited because, well, not only have they prepared a new edition for the Army Bomb for us, like, it's like, this was supposed to be the Army Bomb for the concert, but other than that, like, it looks sleek. Mm-hmm. It looks smooth and futuristic. What do you think about the new Army Bomb? Like, it looks good. I personally wish I could purchase it, but I think it's only available in Korea at the moment, but I'm sure it's going to be available to us worldwide.
I'm pretty sure as well, because I think I saw somewhere on Twitter, like, you know how you can contact, like, Weaver's support? Somebody did that, and they replied stating that maybe later on it'll be available or something like that. Like, the wording may not be exactly like that, Army, but they did reply saying that, like, they do have plans or something like that to make it available in the future.
Okay.
And it only makes sense. They probably won't announce it until the tour, like, the new dates are announced.
Yeah.
Because as far as Army Bombs go, they always have them available for sale ahead of the tour and also during the tour. Like, they have it in the merch, like the merchandise booths.
Yeah.
And so it only makes sense that they're maybe waiting until they have the date so that they can, like, officially say, hey, we're gonna sell them for the tour as well. But like you said, I also think it's very sophisticated. Like, it's very clean. I guess those are the words that came to mind, like sophisticated, like clean, like sleek. Like, the curvature. Like,
she curvy. And she's curvy.
But I do have to bring up that a lot of Army were, like, making fun of it on Twitter. They were saying that it looks like a light bulb. It looks like one of those garden bulbs that, like, you put, like, on the in the grass.
Okay, we're trolling. We're just, you know, making jokes. But, yeah, it does look like those solar-powered lights outside. If you want to, you could buy them and you could set them out in your yard as well. I mean, we can't promise you it won't go missing.
Oh my God. Well, I was about to make a joke, Roseanne, but it's like a fail. Because you know how it's called, like, the Map of the Soul. And then if you put it, like, in your garden, it, like, can create the Map of the Soul. Okay, I'm going to stop.
The soil.
That was lame.
Wait, no, that was good. The Map of the Soil. Okay, no, I get it. Jose, I got you. I got you. Oh, my God. It looks good, though. It looks like... Okay, let me not go there either. We're trying to make these jokes. And it's... No.
What were you going to say?
No, mine was not funny at all. I was just going to say... What were you gonna say? It's not funny because I was just going to say it looks like my soul. It's captured. That's why... No, okay. Moving on. Okay, guys, listen up. Sugar shared a demo of what we think is Seesaw on Twitter. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but it said 180213 flower vocal guide on the clip. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to it, though, what was the difference between this demo versus the Seesaw now, the final version?
Well, I mean, obviously it is what he's singing. For me, I don't know what he's saying in this demo. But, I mean, it could be because he is recording, like, on his phone from his computer or whatever. So the audio obviously is not going to be, like, the best quality. In some parts, I hear, like, some English, but then I'm, like, unsure if it is English. It could just be Korean.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah, but I can't make out anything that he says. But once I read, you know, Flower Vocal Guide, I was like, well, that kind of does make sense. Like, if it's just a vocal guide, maybe he was just singing, like...
Oh, for the melody.
The melody. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't necessarily saying stuff. But another thing that's different is obviously, like, the beat. Like, it is similar to Seesaw, what we know of it today.
Yeah.
But it is somewhat different. But I think it's exciting to see this and, well, not even see it, hear it. Because it's, like, letting us see, like, the early stages of a BTS song. And a Suga-produced song as well, you know what I mean? Because this is his solo from Love Yourself Answer. And it's interesting to point out also that it could have been potentially called Flower instead of Seesaw.
Seesaw. Oh, that's why I said Flower Vocal Guide. Ah, you know, when I'm trying to, like, listen to it now, and you could hear crickets, and the piano is a lot more defined in this. So, very interesting. No, I really want Suga. I know he's not going to do this because I wish he did, but, like, if BTS could make an archive, a website where we could go and check out their drafts and their demos of all old songs, they probably won't do that because then they're giving out ideas. You know what I mean?
I know what you
mean. That they could potentially use in the future. But I wish there was an archive that we could go into and listen to. Like I still want to hear the draft for Spring Day. You know what I mean?
Oh, that Taehyung made. Yeah. Yes, and also Idol, isn't there, like, a different version of Idol as well? Like, the one that they teased us with, and we were like, wait, that's not what the end result was as well, you know?
I was shocked. Or the Blood, Sweat, and Tears, remember the teaser that for that sounded like an R&B version? They need to drop that, if only.
And like you said, they probably have all this archived, and it's probably, like, really secure, like, they have it encrypted or something that nobody can, like, hack in there or whatever, because like, this vocal guide, the 1802-13, obviously that means February 13th of 2018, you know what I mean? So they have this since 2018, and I'm pretty sure that they have more, like, many more files in there, because on the tweet he captioned it saying that while he was, like, on his computer, like, he just found it, like, randomly. So it wasn't even him looking for it. Like, he just found it and saved somewhere in his hard drive. So just imagine what other songs are in there, you know what I mean?
Right. Now, that's another thing. Maybe in the future, they could drop a documentary or behind the scenes on, like, a song being put together. Because, like you mentioned, it says 2018. These songs take years to put together. And so it's really cool, though, how he shared with us this old demo version of Seesaw. Like, really interesting. So those were the updates we had for today. Now we're moving to our favorite segment, Love Army, where we read letters written by you guys. If you want to submit your letter or voice recording, please email them to interlude.army.podcast@gmail.com. Again, that's interlude.army.podcast@gmail.com. And don't feel discouraged if we haven't read your letter yet, because we could always read them in future episodes.
So for today, we have one letter, and this letter comes from Erica Kanadi. I am so sorry if I mispronounced that. She says, "Hi guys, my name is Erica. I discovered BTS on May 1st, 2019, when they performed at the BBMAs with Halsey. That very night, I became an ARMY. I immediately looked them up and caught up with as much information about them as I could. Within this short amount of time, I've grown to understand the meaning behind loving yourself. And while I may not be there all the way yet, I can only thank BTS and ARMY for it. BTS showed me that even my imperfections are perfect, and I'm worth it. BTS has quite frankly changed my life. If not for them, I would be following a path that wasn't meant for me and doing something that I'm not 100% passionate about. They've shown me my purpose in life, and for that, I will be forever grateful.
While I may not have support at home, I could always count on the guys to lift me up and motivate me to keep going. One quote that I've always had in my heart is, "The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why," by Mark Twain. This is essentially saying the day you discover your true passion and purpose will be the most important day. I wholeheartedly believe that I would have never discovered my purpose if it weren't for BTS. While I'm upset that I didn't discover them sooner, I'm so grateful I'm able to walk with them and ARMY in this path called life and journey together. I love them with all my being, and I'm so excited for what's next to come in our journey. I purple you.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you. This was, it just puts a smile on my face because it's something that we could relate to as well. And I hope that other armies feel the same. A journey to find ourselves and to love ourselves. And the fact that we're all in this together. We're all in this together. This is what makes it fun, you know?
Yeah. So. I love how you mentioned, Erica, that it doesn't matter when you discover, like, or when you find BTS in your path, you know, in life, it's meant to be, you know, that moment, it's meant to be whenever it is. And even if yours was in 2019, you found them, though. That's the important part, you know, you found them. Yes. And now you love yourself, or you're beginning, you know, this path of loving yourself a bit more than yesterday and less than tomorrow. I always like to say that. And yeah, just hopefully you keep going, and we're happy to have you in this ARMY fandom, Erica. Yay! Thank you so much.
Thank you, Erica. Are you listening to this episode on Himalaya? If you are, congratulations, because you're already using the best new podcast app out there. Not only does Himalaya have tons of cool features like curated podcast playlists and collections, along with personalized recommendations, but our brand new members-only version of this, Interlude ARMY Plus, is only available on the Himalaya app. When you become a member of Interlude ARMY Plus, you'll get all ad-free, exclusive episodes, giveaways, and more. You'll even get these episodes a day early. And the best part is, Interlude ARMY Plus is available for just $4.99 a month. So download Himalaya and join Interlude ARMY Plus today. Also, I want to give a special shout out to K-Pop Music Town LA for sponsoring our previous giveaway. Now they're located in Los Angeles and Buena Park. Welcome back to Interlude ARMY. Today we have a very special guest joining us. We are excited to have the opportunity to interview Sleep Deez. He helped produce Jungkook's song My Time. So please welcome Sleep Deez.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Doing good.
No, we really appreciate you taking the time to come out here and join us, because there's a lot of questions we're interested in asking. And just, I believe you are the first producer or someone that's linked to music that's on our podcast. So it's such a huge honor to have you.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much.
That was great.
So our first question is, what inspired you to begin your career in music, and what cool places has it led you to?
I started playing piano when I was about maybe 14 or 15. I begged my mom for this keyboard. She was able to save up and get it for me. I'm very fortunate for that. That's really what started it. And then I started just making beats and stuff like my friends in high school. I went to high school in Bakersfield. It was cool. That's just what started it. And I couldn't imagine that. I mean, you said, where has it led me to? I mean, I've been to probably 50 to 60 countries. Wow. for music. Wow. Yeah, I've been all over the entire world. I lived in New Zealand for a little while working on projects. I lived there for 3 years. I spent a little time in Nice and France, and also Hong Kong as well. I spent about 6 months in Hong Kong as well. And so, like, this is just all based off of making music, you know? So I just never would have known, like, a little $200, $300 keyboard would lead to me, like, getting a chance to, like, see the entire world. Like, I mean, I've met President Obama. Just so many things. We did the music for the DNC in Denver when he was running for president. He wasn't president yet, technically. But we did all the music for that, for the DNC. And there's so many things. I could go on forever, but it's definitely... Yeah, I'm very thankful for her buying that keyboard for me.
I do have a question, though. Is there anyone else in your family that, like, is involved in music?
My little brother was involved on the business side a bit. And believe it or not, I'm going to give him a shout out. We call him Scrimp. His name is Randall. But he used to be in a rock band, and it's funny. If you see us, like, we look similar, but it's two totally different vibes. Like, he has, like, some face tats, and he had the big piercings in his ear, and I'm, like, pretty reserved. I'm, like, you know, way back. But, yeah, I think he's the only one. I have my little sister. She actually just started to do rap. She's rapping now, and she does a lot of poetry, my little sister Brianna. So I guess the arts do kind of run in the family a bit. Yeah. I think I'm the only one that pursued it early. Mm-hmm. I'm the oldest, so maybe that's why, or maybe I wanted to get as far away from Bakersfield as possible, but I'm the only one that's, like, try to pursue it professionally.
Cool. So besides the piano, what other instruments do you know how to play? Or
I know how to play bass, bass guitar, pretty decent. I can play the drums. I'm left-handed. Uh-huh. And so that, like, kind of, like, helped, actually prevented me from being able to, like, learn guitar, because I was trying to when I was younger, but I couldn't figure out why until I was older. And the first time I ever saw a left-handed guitar, I picked it up and it felt totally natural. And I was like, damn it, if I had one of these when I was younger, I would have been able to play it. But, yeah, it's very different.
Awesome. So, I mean, one of the big things that we learned from You Sleep is that you actually helped produce Jungkook's song My Time on their new album Map of the Soul 7. Could you give us more information about how My Time was put together and your role that you played for this song?
Yeah, of course. I started working on the project, I would say, like, maybe the beginning of August or so. Mm-hmm. I think that they pretty much had already got a majority of the album worked on at the time. And my friend, who's become my friend through business, I actually met her, I think it was 2016 or 17. Mm-hmm. And she was working with another label in Korea. And I went out there and I worked on SF9 when SF9 was new. Oh. And I went and did songs with them, and I went and did some songs with CN Blue. And we had just a great time there. And that was my first time going to Seoul for work. I've been there twice for tour, but I had never been there to work on any music. And so it was a great experience that went well. And so I guess they got to a point in the album where, so, like, the recording process, like, I don't know how it fully works for them, but for, like, me and other projects I've been involved in, you kind of, like, go in and you just kind of create freely, and then you kind of get the best songs from those ones that you make. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to make a 15 song album, for example, you might do, like, a 1-2 or 1-3 ratio. So you might record 45 songs. They might not all be full and complete, but you're going to record 45 to 50 songs to get 15 songs, right?
Wow.
So I'm guessing that they got to a point where they had, like, maybe the lead of the album and knew kind of what they were doing, and they wanted some more things. That's just my opinion. And Gia contacted me, and she was like, hey, do you remember me? And I was like, of course. Like, I remember everybody that, you know, I work with pretty much. Mm-hmm. She asked if I wanted to work on BTS. Wow. And I was like, of course. So she kind of gave me, like, some pretty loose guidelines, just kind of like the vibe of what she wanted to, of what they wanted. And and so I just kind of went in and I created, I think that day I made, like, 5 ideas. And the very first one I kept going back to and listening to over and over. That was My Time. And I just knew it. Like, I knew it when I heard it. It was something about it. I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I know other musicians will tell you this, is just sometimes you just know. Mm-hmm. I had a feeling that that it was going to be special. And so I called up Era, who's a good friend of mine, Jerry Gibson, who's a songwriter on the song. Mm-hmm. And I sent him the track. And he FaceTimed me 5 minutes later, and he was going crazy. If you guys ever talk to him one day, or when we do it in person, I'll bring him so you can see he's a maniac. Like, his energy is through the roof. Aww. Like, total opposite. Like, I'm very actually asleep, and he's just very, like,
awake,
bouncing off walls all the time. Yeah, he's awake. And so he FaceTimes me, and he's like going crazy. I can't even understand what he's saying. And then he's like, I'm gonna work on this first thing tomorrow. I gotta finish this. I gotta do this. I have to do something else so I can get to this, but I'm gonna do this. An hour later, he sends me a video. He had already started working on the song. He scrapped everything that he was doing that day and started working on it immediately.
Oh my God.
And so that was the very beginning of it. And so we just kind of went back and forth. We were on FaceTime, you know, I was making my suggestions, and he was doing his thing. And we got like a nice rough version of an idea. Mm-hmm. And I sent it back over to Korea, and they loved it right away. And once they love something, that's when that's when the fun begins, because you know that you're going to do about 20 revisions. but it's good, you know, it's better than them saying, oh, we passed on this, you know. But so that was probably, I would say, August. Yeah, that was pretty much like the birth of what became my time. But I think everybody involved, even on their side, because they were really excited, everybody knew that it was going to be a special song.
So before you actually started working on it, did you already know of BTS, or had you heard about them, or did you follow them or listen to the music?
Yeah, I did. Nipsey Hussle, the rapper, he was a friend of mine. And he passed away last year, but he used to always, you know, like, make jokes about me always being overseas. And he used to call me International Sleep all the time. And so he wouldn't say it quite that way, but we're gonna do the keep it PG-13 for the podcast. But but he would always call me that, and I always liked it, actually. So I ended up he would just say funny stuff. There's actually like a video on the internet of me and him in New York, and we're like, oh, we're babies. This is like probably 2009. Mm-hmm. And we're in New York, and I'm wearing like a Burberry polo, and he's just like, you know, he's fresh out of South Central LA, and he's like making fun of me for wearing a polo, but not in a bad way. He's just like always called me very international. He's like, where did you just come from, Paris, or where you been at? So because of that, because of going to so many different countries, between like 2009 and 2015, I was constantly overseas. I learned to love a lot of different music, just period, you know. Yeah, even culture, just, you know, food and just everything about other cultures that I hadn't experienced yet. So I was very familiar with BTS. My little sister loves BTS. Yeah, so I mean, she's probably the most excited, but so yeah, I was very familiar with BTS already when I was in Korea, and I think 2016 2017, you can just kind of see that they were really, really like on the incline, you know. They were huge in Korea already, but you were starting to see the international footprint start to cross over to America as well. If you're paying attention, you can see it happening. It was something that I was interested in. I just had no idea how it would happen, because I remember looking at like the credits before, and you can look and tell that they were pretty in-house, you know, as far as their team, and it seemed like it was pretty tight knit. And I was kind of a bit of a hiatus, so I just saw it, and I was like, oh, that'd be cool to do that one day. And it just kind of fell on my lap. Wow. But I was already a fan of the music, and really, even more than the music, the branding, the message in the music, you know. I was really into the fact that they were not trying to force themselves into doing a full English album. I appreciated that, because I feel like, I just feel like in America, we dabble in everybody else's culture so much, but then when it comes to their music, it's kind of like, oh, why don't they do an English song? But it's like, if you're going to go eat Korean barbecue and watch Korean movies, like, why don't you try to listen to a Korean song or learn a phrase or two? Or, like, you know, it's just kind of like crazy to me that if we can have, I mean, Despacito is a huge record on radio, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how come On couldn't have been a huge record on radio? Like, people didn't know what Despacito mean, especially if you didn't live in California, like, or Florida, you know, a place with heavy Latin population. So I don't know. I've always been into things that are a little bit different, but yeah. I was a fan of like their overall branding and even the whole Map of the Soul rollout, just the different Map of the Soul projects with Persona and things like that. I thought that was really cool. I used the psychology point of it all to put that together. It makes the fans interested in what's next and what's to come. You involve the fans on your journey. And I think that that's a big part of the reason why they connect with their audience. Like, I feel like a lot of people get disconnected from their audience, but they seem to never do that. They always are connected with their audience. And I think that's great.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because those are a few of the things that are overlooked by the general public. So I'm glad that you touched based on their message and what they've been working on for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Question though, like, when you received the news about this project, did you know that this was going to be a solo song, especially a solo song for Jungkook, the youngest member?
No, I didn't know that. The fact that I had listened to some of their music and was a little familiar, the style that they wanted, mm-hmm. it made me think that it was going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just assumed that maybe he would be like the lead vocalist and maybe, you know, there'd be a rap feature on there, maybe R.E.M. Mm-hmm. or Sugar or something like that. I'm not sure. But like when you're in the middle of it, you don't really think. You just know it's BTS and you just take it serious and yeah. you try to do a good job.
So when did you find out that it was going to be a solo song? Was it until the album came out, or were you able to like listen and work on it once his vocals were on the song?
Oh, yeah. So, okay. I told my friend, my friend Joyce, that I was going to make sure that I tried to tell you guys something that I haven't told anybody else.
Oh, okay.
This is an exclusive, but this is if anybody cares about me at all. This is cool, you know. But one of the best parts of this whole thing was, like I said, you do so many revisions, and sometimes you start questioning yourself, like, dang, am I doing something wrong here? Like, you know, what do I got to do to get this right? And so I woke up, and I have the email still, and it was, I knew that they had been recording it, because when we were working on it, I actually had to raise the key of the song, because sometimes you actually lower the key, because sometimes the notes are too high, but when we raised it, that also lets you know how good of a vocalist he is. I got the final version of the song on November 4th, which is my dad's birthday, who's passed away. And so that's always like a, you know, it's not always a tough time, but it's always an interesting time. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to feel something when his birthday comes around. And I woke up, and, you know, the time difference is crazy. And so I'm so used to getting emails from Korea in the middle of the night with changes. And so I got the email, and I was looking, I'm like, okay. So what do we have to change today? And then I opened the email, and it's the an early version of the song with his vocals on it. But this is the first time that I received it.
Oh.
And I got so excited. I was like, I couldn't wait to hear it. And so like I woke up and I'm like stumbling down the hallway. And then like my apartment is three floors. And so that's not a flex, by the way. I'm just saying that this is dangerous. So
yeah,
drinking or being sleepy in my house is always an action sport. And so I'm trying to hurry up and get downstairs. I'm like, okay, pay attention to the steps. So I'm like running downstairs, and I turn on the big speakers, and I turn it on, and I hear it for the first time. I turned on my camera, so I actually recorded it. I might share it later in the year, like on the 1 year anniversary or something. But
oh, yes.
I ran downstairs and I played it, and I heard it for the very first time. And I played it maybe 25 times in a row. Because it's just like that feeling that I first had when I was working on the beat.
Mm-hmm.
It just, that was the manifestation of all of that. Like, that was the full circle moment where it was just like, ah, oh, yes. And then it happened on my dad's birthday too. So it's just like, you know, it's like, you know, and it's a huge project to be a part of. You know, I mean, I didn't know it was going to be this huge, but I know it was going to be big. But, you know, it's just a lot of different things. And then my birthday is a week after that, so it was just the best overall birthday present to find out that not only to find out, but to hear the song and hear that it's good. Because I've been on a couple of albums, I'm not going to say which one. Sometimes the song doesn't come out exactly how you wanted it to. Or just, you know, I'm a producer, so I make beats. And so sometimes they go in a totally different direction than you pictured in your head. But this was just like, it was totally spot on.
Wow.
I was excited.
Yeah. So it makes it like even extra special for you.
That was my birthday present right there.
Yeah. So you actually mentioned right now that the song was originally down a one key, but it was raised up because of his range. How far were you guys into the song when you decided to do this?
So I started in August, and we raised the key in October. So I would imagine that, you know, I mean, you know that their schedules are insane, but I would imagine that they were probably going through the writing process, because sometimes you take your time with that and you're getting it right. And I saw RM did his V-Live. He was saying that he had trouble getting some of the writing done. And they probably started recording and they probably like, hey, we need to raise this up. And so, so yeah, they contacted me and I raised up all the stems and all the parts individually and sent it off the next day. And I probably got the version I just told you about. I probably got that back maybe about 3 weeks later. So,
I mean, you did mention that you had to come up with a bunch of drafts, and that's kind of common within the industry. But how was your experience working with Big Hit and Jungkook himself?
For me, I actually prefer the method of communication out of Korea a lot more than I do in America. And I don't care what anybody thinks about that here in America. If they're listening, they can learn something. No, seriously, like music is a very collaborative thing, right? And I feel like a lot of people just kind of want to have something to say just to have something to say. For me, if I can't add to the conversation, then I'm probably going to be quiet. And so sometimes we deal with like, who's saying like, I just don't know. I just don't know. But not from Korea. Korea is like at the 2:12 mark. And we change this here after this mark. Can we change it? Or could we try something more like this? And it's just very, very detailed. And for some people, that might seem anal. Or if you're a little bit spoiled, you might, or if you have like a bit of an ego, you might feel a certain way about that. But not me. I prefer to work with people that know what they want out of a record, because it's not about me at that point, right? It's about the song and whatever is best for the song. So the revisions, they were never like full out, like make a whole another track. It was always just small things. Small things that lead to big things. That's really what music is. You're putting a lot of small parts together to make one big thing. So it was pretty cool to go through that process on a song, because it's different, right? Because it's such a big album, you know, and they knew that better than I did, because they know their sales and they know what their goals are and they know what they're going towards, while me, like, you know, I'm just kind of just like, hey, whatever you guys need, I'll do it. So the fact that they were very precise on the edits, it helped me deliver what they needed from me. So I prefer that method of communication, because you can't get anything done without communication. So
that's true.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I've seen interviews like here in America of artists saying like, oh, I never actually was in the studio, or like I never really talked to them. They just sent me this and I just did what I had to do, and there wasn't really that much collaboration, even though it's called a collaboration.
I mean, that's the era that we're in with the internet, but it doesn't mean that it has to be inefficient or plug and play, right? It doesn't, just because the internet is here for convenience and, you know, people have different schedules, it doesn't mean that you can't be all involved, right? You know, like I said, it just comes down to communicating what is necessary. And I feel like the way I produce, that I make records that when people hear them, you know, 20 years from now, you might hear small inklings of the time period, but you're never going to be able to just stick it in a time period. I like to make stuff that feels timeless, that you can listen to forever, right? And I feel like the only way you're going to get that is if everybody's input is involved, because you're mm-hmm. adding the uniqueness of 6, 7, 8 different people mm-hmm. into a song. Mm-hmm. And so when you add all those things, you get something that's never happened before. If I was to just make a whole song on my end and send it and someone records it, I just don't think that that's the way that music is supposed to be made. I like talking to the artists, whether it's in the studio or electronically, to figure mm-hmm. out what it is they need and involve their input fully. Like, I don't need to, it's not a one-man sport, not for me at least. So,
so we actually did see one of your tweets stating that.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
You... Don't worry. He's like, which one? Which
I know. Right? Like, don't worry. It's not bad.
I'm joking.
When you played My Time for a big publisher back in January and told mm-hmm. them it would be a huge track, it doesn't matter mm-hmm. if it's the lead single or not, they told you that they only estimated 20 to 30 million streams over 12 to 18 months. But little did they know that My Time would hit 30 million streams in less than 2 months. So were you surprised by this, and what was your reaction?
I wasn't surprised by it. I want to state that I know the tweet read one way. They weren't being malicious in saying 20 to 30 uh-huh. million streams, but that's still good.
You know what right, I mean? Right.
You know, it's just they just didn't know about BTS and the BTS Army, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't certain if it's going to be a single at some point or not. Like, I don't know the information, but I just know that that's a song that's going to connect to people. And then once I found out what the Korean translation was, I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, this is going to, you know, and obviously my little sister is telling me about JK and how, you know, she's just breaking the whole thing down to me. Oh. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I get what's okay. So I'm like, this song is really, really going to be special. Mm-hmm. And, I guess, so just in general, I played them the record and I played them some other records that I have coming out this year with other mm-hmm. Big artists, and they want me to be a part of their company, right? Mm-hmm. And so they did evaluations on all the records of what they project those records to sell.
Oh.
So that's how we got to that point. And I was telling them, I told them that it's going to be a 100 million stream song easily. And they said that, I don't know what research they did, but they were saying based off other songs, they were like saying some of their songs, the big singles, have like up to 300 million streams, but mm-hmm. because it's not a lead single, they didn't think that it would perform that well, and they're super wrong. super wrong. So, you know, I wasn't surprised though. Maybe by how quick, I thought that it might take a little while for people to gravitate towards that one, but I guess, yeah, it was even a trending topic the first few days on Twitter worldwide when the album came out. So mm-hmm.
it was.
At that point, I knew. I was like, okay, people, we did something special here, and I don't think people had ever heard him on a track like that, right? So
definitely, know. Like when I first heard it, I was like, this is a new side to Jungkook. And I don't know, I mean, it's just so good. Sleep, like, it's so good. You did a great job.
You,
like,
I appreciate
it's such
it.
A good song.
My reaction when it started with the electric guitar, just how it, like, I'm like, mm-hmm. oh my god, is this like R&B? I just, it was what we were waiting for. We didn't know what we needed until this came out. And
some people, the fans, I think the fans found me like maybe I would say 2 days before the album came out. They all did a press release and kind of gave more info on the mm-hmm. album. And I think that Jungkook said that he had a solo song and everybody was talking about it. And I guess like the fans went scouring the internet. And so the first person that I saw post that they were involved was, I think it was Troy. No, it was Melanie, of course. Mm-hmm. And then the next person I saw was Troy. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, one of my friends was like, oh, you should post about it. And I was like, no, I said that I wasn't going to post anything about it until we got closer to the album. So that's when I'm going to do it. And so I just put it in my bio and on Twitter, and that's it. You know, and like, it was there for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe after the press conference or the press release where they did like a little small interview, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but that was the first time they announced that he had a solo on this project. Mm-hmm. And I think one person found me, and then 10, and then 1,000, and then like my Twitter account has never been mine since then. Now belongs to the people. It's no longer mine. So yeah, it was cool.
No, yeah, the moment they see, like, Army sees your name, we're gonna go look to see, like, who is this person and can we contact them? And yeah,
the funny thing is too is that they, you know, because I have you know, there's two sides to my career. You know, I started out with working in the Black Eyed Peas camp while working with my boy Prince Ford, and him and Will.i.am have been working together for maybe 12 years at that point. And so that's where I learned the whole business, and I learned everything from that side of it. And I produced on a lot of records during that time frame. And everything I've been doing since 2012 has been on my own outside of the camp. And so I've been involved in like a lot of records behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And so when you guys were searching, they would find, and sometimes they would find a rap song, and somebody found a country song that I did, and somebody found some stuff I did for some crazy stuff, and some people found some stuff I did for Jake Paul, that's something else. And so people were so confused, and it's actually cool because I do so much stuff, people were really like thrown off. They didn't know if Junk was gonna be rapping, they didn't know if he's gonna be singing, they had no idea. Mm-hmm. So they kept asking me, and I was like, hey, I guess we got to find out in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
It is. And, you know, many ARMYs believe that in some cases, BTS and ARMY are still underestimated. And given this case you've encountered, would you agree? And if so, why?
It almost feels weird to say that one of the biggest groups in the world, is underestimated or underrated. I just think that people are very slow to adapt, and I just feel like I can't figure out why, you know, I don't want to point any crazy fingers out, but I can't figure out why, you know, this album in particular, in this day and age where there's so much demand, why the songs aren't getting played, you know, on radio or getting more mainstream attention, because they get mainstream attention as a group.
Right.
But why is the art not getting the mainstream attention that it deserves? And I feel like it's got to be a buildup to it. And I feel like this is the time. Like, if you look at, you know, 2 years ago presenting at the Grammys, and then you look at last year performing with Lil Nas X at the Grammys, or, you know, this past Grammy, and then doing Corden and Fallon and all of that stuff, I assumed that was going to lead to a lot of airplay, and then they did Jingle Ball, you know, in December. I do agree that they're underestimated. I don't know why, because it's, you can't box it in like you would do, like, say someone who is huge on YouTube, right? It's a huge form of media, but it's not mass media. It's not network television, right?
Right.
So if you have a bunch of fans who are fans of specifically a YouTuber, you can kind of box that into a category, and then you can deny it and say like, oh, well, they have to get an audience outside of YouTube if we're going to do this, you know. But when you start having a group, like, not be a musical guest on Fallon, but take over Fallon, do a whole segment, and you have a group do carpool karaoke, and I mean, they're massive. Like, it's undeniable. They're coming to the U.S. and they're selling out tours. And you got, I don't want to say any people, but you got other artists who are having to actually downgrade from doing stadiums to arenas. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's undeniable, and I don't understand why. I mean, they're getting mainstream love from everywhere else except radio, right?
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that they're not getting mainstream love. I'm sure their brand value is through the roof, but why not be played on the radio? And I just think that it is a piss poor excuse to say that because the songs are not in English. Like, get that the hell out of here. Like, I don't even want to hear that. Because, like I said, we have Latin songs on the radio, and they say, oh, well, there's a lot of Latin people that live in America. Oh, so there's no Korean people that live in America. Okay.
Exactly.
Then don't go to K-Town in your city anymore. If that's the case. It doesn't even make sense. It's just a dumb argument. So, yeah. They are underestimated. The Army is underestimated, but, you know, the underdogs are going to end up on top.
Yes.
But it's so true because, like, on radio, it's like you said, like, they performed at the Jingle Ball, and they've done numerous iHeart Radio events or like appearances or whatever it may be, and like it's almost like they're just being used for that because they know that iHeartRadio knows that they're going to get the clicks and the attention and the traffic, but when it comes to actually, you know, giving like paying it forward by like actually putting them on radio, it's just not happening. Like I think something came out recently where I think the first day that the album came out, like it was only played once or something like that on radio in some stations. So it's just crazy that to this day, like it just doesn't add up.
The worst part about that is like, because at the end of the day, you could make the argument that they're so big that they don't need radio, right? But they do, because the metrics on Billboard in particular, the Hot 100, relies heavily on radio. And I feel like that's something that also needs to be revamped even more. It's been revamped quite a bit over the years when they started adding streaming to be involved in it. That changed the landscape of music. I'll tell you guys, like from, I guess, like a little bit of an insider perspective, when you had the era of like, let's say like Katy Perry, Kesha, you know, the whole Dr. Luke era where all those songs were coming out, they didn't count streaming at that time. And so they counted radio play heavily, right? And sales as well. And so what you had was, they had the formula down packed to end up in the top 10 on the Hot 100. You had a lot of music that sounded exactly the same during that time period as well.
Yes.
And then music started to change a bit in America. You started having like the R&B underground scenes getting bigger. I think Jhené Aiko was a big champion of that. And that led to like a bit of an underground R&B sound that started to creep and bubble up. And with technology getting better and better, you start ending up with, you know, the DIY. Like you can record it at home, record yourself. And when you start doing that, and then you have the power of the internet, you start to create blended genres of music, doing it your way, not the way that was very formulaic in the way that people are trying to tell you this is how a pop record should sound, right? And so what ended up happening, because there was so much success with that, I would say like one side of that is Jhené Aiko with the R&B sound, but then you have Lorde came out and she did really well. And you started having more, it started turning into like more of a singer-songwriter kind of vibe that started coming into radio. And that started ushering the old era out and bringing like more new sounds to radio. And then what happened was Katy Perry had the record Dark Horse out, right? Dark Horse is, I believe Dark Horse was actually a Juicy J track first. He actually had a song for that first, but Katy Perry ended up doing a song to it. The song was, you know, it's a good song. It's a good pop record, right? Over pop record over basically like a urban track, right? And then at the same time, you had Beyonce do a surprise drop album, the Beyonce self-titled album, right?
Yes.
And so Drunken Love was the lead single from that, Beyonce and Jay-Z, right? It's the biggest song out at the time. It's undeniable, the impact of it. Surfboard, it had all the, you know, all the hashtags, had everything that makes a song explode on social, right? That song never hit number one on the Hot 100. Can you believe that? So it was number one in streams. It was number one in social impact. It was number one in everything except for mainstream radio play.
Right.
But that's Beyonce. So when you see that and you... So I feel like that was the beginning of when things started to change, when they started incorporating streaming more heavily into the Hot 100. And now you see what's happened since then. I don't think, no disrespect to, you know, Katy Perry, but that style of music in general, like her and that very kind of formulaic pop sound hasn't really dominated the Hot 100 top 10 since. And so it takes for stuff like that to happen. So maybe the point I was leading to with all that is hopefully with all the, I don't want to say complaints because they're justified, but with shedding light on this, hopefully BTS can be a group that ushers in more change for the Hot 100 and ushers in more factors other than mainstream radio play, you know, because the social impact is undeniable. The fan base is massive. And, you know, one of the biggest misconceptions that I think people have, even my friends, they'll say something like, you know, in a respectful way, they'll say like, oh, you won't even be able to walk through K-Town anymore. And I'm like, you guys don't understand. It's not only Korean fans. Like, they have a huge base in India, South America, Europe, America. Like, this is a truly global phenomenon. It's not just isolated to one group. Yeah. Like, they're huge. And so I think that the more people start to realize that, you know, hopefully this whole situation can cause the people in charge to look over their system. Mm-hmm. And you got to give the people what they want. Yes. Like, you know, if they want to hear BTS on the radio, let them have BTS on the radio. And the other part of that is it's going to bring so many more new fans. Just look at the comments on the YouTube channel on the Carpool Karaoke.
Right.
Yeah. There's so many people that are just like, oh, wow, I've heard of these guys, but I never knew that they were this talented. Right. So, you know, give them a shot to get bigger. It only helps everybody.
It does.
You know? It only helps everybody. So that was a very long-winded answer, but I hope
that. We loved your answer. It
totally makes sense.
We loved your answer.
And we're so happy that somebody like that's actually in the business, like, knows about this and sees it like the way we do, because we definitely see how it's so unfair, you know, like, people want to listen to them. It's not that they don't want to listen to them. If you give them a chance, you'll be able to like gain more of listeners to your radio station and stuff.
We know you're gonna play the song, we're gonna go on your radio station and listen to it.
I mean, even like, you know, Steve Jobs had a quote that was like along the lines of like, we don't try to create what people want, we give them what they're going to want, you know. So it's like, I think with this same way, it's like, if you put it on the radio, let the people tell you if they like it or not, you know. Even people are going to love it and not know that they ever would have loved it. Mm-hmm. And how else are they going to get that chance? You know?
But yeah, we want to get all your social media information so that way our listeners can reach out to you. Those who haven't, you know, been able to found you, where can people find you, Sleep, on social media?
At SleepDs on Twitter and at SleepVision on Instagram. And I do want to give a shout out to BTS Army on Twitter. I have so much fun talking to you guys and answering your questions. And I actually started, I don't know if you guys have saw, but I've actually started, since we've been in quarantine, hashtag sleep in theater. So I've been having movie nights with the Army.
Yeah, and I so, saw like, that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I started a Discord, and like 24 hours before I'm going to do a movie, I'll just like do a poll and say like, which movie we're going to watch tomorrow night. And I mean, sometimes it ends up being like 600 people in our private Discord chat, and we all like live stream a movie together. And so, you know, they give me so much credit for me helping get them through the quarantine. They're also helping me get through this too, because like, I live alone and I can only make so many beats in a day, man. Like, you know, so it's fun to jump on Twitter and, you know, talk a little trash sometimes, but, you know, just have fun with the fans. And, you know, it's been a very great experience being able to interact directly with the people that love the music. And there's been like, there's so many talented people in the Army, like at Arc10, she's a music producer. She's phenomenal. I actually gave her my private collection of drum sounds because I heard some of her music and I was just like, oh, she's got real talent. And I gave her that, and I listened to demos through Twitter as well, and I give advice. And so, like, you know, I'm like a big brother for the fans, so they can reach out to me if I see it. I usually try to reply to it. So yeah, there's like lots of great people in Army, and such a diverse group of people too. So that's one more thing I want to add. You know, they told me that BTS Army was a bunch of teenage girls, right? And so, I mean, since then I've met so many people that are not teenage girls. I met a really a talented attorney, Abby, from India. I've met two people that work for NASA, and they both offered me tours when quarantine was over to come tour NASA.
Wow.
Nice.
I've met like painters through BTS Army, drawers, people who have great video editing services that they want to offer. There's one Army member who she is a, we call her Nana, and she does like dances to My Time. I don't know if you guys have saw them, but they're grousing.
Okay, the yes.
She's amazing. She calls me her nephew. Aww. And so there's been so many. I've made like a lot of like, you know, new connections with friends through working with BTS, and it made me feel a lot better about working with them. Mm-hmm. And working with them more in the future and stuff too, because the fan base is awesome. It's the first time I've really, really got a chance to connect with the fans of music that I've created, because as a producer, you're so behind the scenes, yeah. You know, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This has been a great experience. So super shout out to BTS Army. I actually turned down a lot of media requests. I don't know if you guys knew that, but I turned down a lot of media. I did a post about it. And so you guys and the Korean Herald is the only media that I've done. I turned down Billboard.
Wow.
That was it. Yeah. It wasn't because of Billboard. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, I would do Billboard because it'd be great for my career. And just because of the column in particular, it felt very like what we were talking about, BTS with clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I just kind of said, like, I don't need to do any press because I can talk to the fans directly. They can ask me the questions they want to ask. But if you want to talk to me about my career, then sure. But if it's only BTS, then... No, but as you guys do your podcast, you guys are part of BTS Army. You guys are very involved. And so when I looked you guys up and did my research, I was like, of course I'll do that. Wow. You know, so
Thank you. Anytime
you guys want to have me back and we can do the in-person once all the microbes are gone, just reach out to me. You guys know how to get in touch with me, email or, you know, Insta or whatever. So,
wow, thank you so much, Lee.
That means a lot.
It does mean a lot to us. Like, we didn't even know that. So it's just...
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Thank you once again for taking your time to join us, Sleep, and we hope to have you in future episodes.
Yeah, let's do it. Take care.
Wow, that was such an amazing interview. There's so much exclusive content that we got, and I feel like it was such a special interview. How do you feel right now?
I'm so happy. Like, I'm really, really happy. I mean, like you said, it's super special. I think it's not only because we got like tidbits here and there, like never before heard information, but like, mm-hmm. This is someone that directly worked on BTS's music, you know, like he helped produce it. Yeah. So it's like firsthand information. It's not something like, oh, he said, she said. You know what I mean? It's just, that's my word for today. It's just,
it's so fun because I've always wanted to speak directly to someone who has helped produce music with BTS. And because I want to learn more about the music industry and just music itself. I can't. Like, the only thing I could do is contribute vocal-wise, but I don't know anything about, like, instruments, producing, writing, and all that stuff. So, it's just, I felt like I learned so much from Sleep. And I was like, I have more questions for him, too. But, like, literally, that was a really good interview.
Yeah, and it helped that, like, he had a lot, you know, to share and that he wanted to share with us, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think we're really honored that we're one of the few people that he's like given an interview to.
Yeah.
So that's like extra special for us.
Yeah, that caught me by surprise, you know, because just knowing that made it even more special. But we really do hope to have him on future episodes, but also maybe if you guys have questions for him in the future, like I have a lot of questions about how does, you know, particularly like music work and all that stuff.
Yeah, like the recording process, more on that.
Yeah, because I know that takes a lot of work and yes.
Yeah, and it's exciting that he's open to it. He said he's open to like being on in our future episode and even meeting him in person. Hopefully that could happen too. But like if we're able to have him on our future episodes, we definitely will give Army the opportunity to submit questions, you know,
mm-hmm.
to get them more involved. But don't think I skipped over that part that you contribute vocal wise, Roseanne.
So I'm gonna
need you to give us some vocals right now. I made you to serve it.
Vocals. No, we're not going there.
Okay. I won't pressure you into it.
I was like, oh my god.
When you feel like singing, we're open to it, Rosen.
Okay, you know what? Maybe I'll drop a cover during this lockdown. We shall see. Ooh, if I do, my time cover. Oh, hello. Sorry, hello. I just thought of my time and like. Okay, hello. But yes, be sure to follow us, you guys, on Interlude Army, because I know you don't want to miss future episodes. We have a lot more fun things coming through, and also interviews to look forward to. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you want to follow us on Twitter, make sure to go to @InterludeArmyPD. That is InterludeArmyPD. And we also have our email, which is interlude.army.podcast@gmail.com. Send us any questions, feedback, your love army letters or recordings, because we're still accepting those.
Yes, thank you guys once again for tuning in. Hope to catch you guys next week.
Next week for another episode of Interlude Army.
Yay!
Thank you guys. Stay safe. Wash your hands.
Stay safe. Take care. Yes, wash your hands.
Bye.
Kim Nam Joon, Kim So Jin, Min Yoon Gi, Young Ho Suk, Park Ji Min.